Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, let's do a couple of minutes on the NFL as we get all the franchise tags in and get all the rumors coming off the combine and everything else with Albert Breer. Albert, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Mike?
All right. What's your number one thing that you're interested in right now going on?
I'd say probably Kyler Murray. I mean, this was actually going to be sort of a boring draft season. We had our meetings about a month ago to talk about everything, and it was really about the defensive linemen and where some of the quarterbacks might go. And to me, Kyler Murray's fascinating just because he's a shorter, smaller player. There's no real precedent for a player his size.
No.
Making it as a quarterback position, and yet there's a coach at the top of the draft who I can tell you really likes him, and a possibility that the team at the top of the draft could be moving on from a quarterback they drafted in the first round just a year ago. And so,
what do you think? What do you think the more now they commit to Murray, which a lot of people think they're going to. I mean, agreed that they're going to do that. What do you think they feel they can get for Rosen?
I would say based on his contract and based on the number of teams that are out there that may not need a quarterback now but are going to need one in the next couple of years, I would say you may be looking at a two or a low one. And here's why, Mike. There are certain teams that draft high and are going to have their shot at rookie quarterbacks. But if you look at, like, New England or a Green Bay or a Pittsburgh or the Chargers, like, those teams that have established quarterbacks aren't going to be drafting high enough to get the next one. And so they have to think creatively as far as finding a way to get the guy who's going to succeed the quarterback in place. And this is an opportunity for those teams to do it, you know? And so say you're the Los Angeles Chargers, like, would you give up, what is it, the 28th pick, I think, for Josh Rosen? If I'm the Chargers, I'm really thinking about that because I've got a good team. I'm not going to be drafting high enough for a while, probably. To get the guy who's going to be the next guy after Phillip Rivers, it would make some sense, you know, and if you get that right, then you could be set up for another 15 years. And so I think he's certainly worth, you know, a low one or a high two, somewhere in there.
And where do you think, now, are you in the market like everyone else is? I mean, I haven't heard anybody who doesn't think Foles is done in Jacksonville. Do you think that's happening too?
I mean, everyone I talk to
says it's happening.
The one thing that gives me some pause there is that the market wasn't great for him. Over the last couple of weeks, if you want to look at why the Eagles decided not to tag him, it was because no one was going to trade for him. Jacksonville, I'll tell you this right now, it's flat out. Jacksonville was not going to trade for him. Even though they're willing to sign him, they were not willing to give up a draft pick too because they knew that there wasn't anybody else bidding on him. And I think part of the issue now is that they're, you know, you go throughout all your meetings at the combine and everything else, and teams meeting with agents and everything else, and the interest wasn't great in him there either. And so, you know, I think Jacksonville will give him a fair contract, but would I rule out another team getting involved, you know, at the 11th hour, like a Washington or a Miami, that may look at the price for Foles and say, you know what, that's not bad. Maybe we should just throw our hat in the ring. I don't think that's impossible. And so I think, if I'm a betting man, I still think it's the Jaguars. I will tell you that, but a lot can happen, in 8 days. And you know, there's certainly time here for someone else to swoop in and change the dynamic.
Where do you see Haskins going, and what do you think the market is for Haskins?
I think Haskins probably goes somewhere in the top 10. And part of it depends on Murray.
Do you hear anybody being in love with Haskins?
Not yet, not yet. I mean, I think Haskins is a little more stable than Murray is. Where I think,
well, Murray, you got to listen. You got to have a conviction in Murray.
Right.
A lot of guys will not draft a 5'10" quarterback with small hands. They won't do it. So you know that. A lot of guys just will say,
right,
"Thank you, let someone else do it." I mean, so I can think a lot of coaches that I know who would say, "You know what? I'm not saying he can't do it, but let someone else prove it." You know,
I think there's a really good chance Arizona takes him at one.
Oh, I think they will. I think he loves him. Loves him. He wants him.
But if they don't take him, I think he could slip because of what you're talking about.
Yes,
because
I think he could slip a long way. I agree.
Right.
And that's why I think he has to go very – I think he knows he's going there. That's the way he's played this, like he knows he's going there.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I think Haskins' stock is a little more stable. You know,
right,
where,
I agree with that. Listen, size matters to a lot of guys in the NFL. It just does.
Yep, and there's no question about that. And I think Haskins can fit into most every offense. I think he'll be fine playing early on. But there's a lot of pluses with Haskins. It's just you don't have the ceiling that Kyler Murray might have. And so I think I think Haskins is, you know, his stock is stable. He'll probably go somewhere in the top 10 to 15 picks. And I don't think he has the same potential to slip that Kyler Murray does if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one. And so, I mean, look, I think the Giants are going to kick the tires hard on Haskins and take a real look at him. I think Jacksonville's going to take a very real look at him. Miami, the Redskins, like, there are going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be, you know, looking very hard at Dwayne Haskins. And I think that, again, the likelihood is that he goes somewhere in the top 10.
Okay. We're talking with Albert Breer about the NFL right now. As far as the combine, the kid who wowed the combine like few guys have done maybe since Brian Urlacher is this Metcalf, but he's got a serious medical issue. How much? So this is a fascinating one. Do they throw the caution to the wind, or does the medical issue push him down? Like, if you went on his numbers, he's going to get drafted in the top five players. Now, but he's got a serious injury he's coming off. How much does that lower his value? Who takes the chance?
Yeah, and the kind of injury that can linger too, and that should be mentioned. And I don't think, you know, I don't think it kills him, but I do think there are questions about how he projects into the NFL. And
his combine was scary. I mean, he looked like Julio Jones.
Scary.
He looked
but
like
you know,
Julio
but,
Jones.
But you know what? You had a case like this. Was it 4 years ago? And the Bears took Kevin White with the 9th overall pick, and it was the same sort of thing. Guy who was a physical freak who was dominant in a simple offense when he was in the field, but had injury issues, and he just hasn't been able to get on track. And so I think that there is some of that with him, where there's a genuine excitement over what he can do athletically, but then there's also, you know, questions, serious questions about his health, how he projects into the NFL, what kind of route runner he is. I mean, Mike, as impressive as he is physically, he was able to use that athleticism at the college level to dominate. You can't just do that in the NFL. He's going to need a lot of polish coming from where he's coming from. And so I think to some degree he is still a projection. Obviously, you get excited about the physical ability, again, the same way you did with Kevin White in 2015. But there are some serious questions about how he projects to the NFL.
All right, who, if anybody else, really helped himself at the combine? Who came off the hot list and moved up the most other than Metcalf?
Yeah, I would say Montez Sweat from Mississippi State.
Yeah, he got a lot of attention, too, because of his speed, right?
Yeah, and he ran a 4.41, which is outstanding, right?
It's ridiculous for a guy that size.
For a defensive end, is ridiculous.
Almost mind-boggling, to be honest
one
with
of the
you.
Keys, one of the keys here, though, is that it followed up doing really, really well for the Niners coaching staff in drills at the Senior Bowl. And that's key because now he's done something on the field and he's done something off the field, right? Like, he did something in on-field work and then he did something in the Olympic testing. And so those are two good pieces to put together for him. And I think you take that and, you know, okay, like, now what are you going to do about the stuff earlier in his life where he got thrown out of Michigan State for stealing laptops?
Not a good kid. Let's be honest,
right,
not
like
a good kid.
Yeah. Whatever it was, and pot. Like, has he grown up? Is that real? There's all those questions with him, right? Like, so those are the questions you're going to ask. But, I mean, look, like, athletically, what he's done over the course of the last month, outstanding. And so, you know what this does, Mike, is after you get past Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, and arguably Josh Allen, right?
Yes.
There's a big mess of players, and they're all sort of fighting to climb over one another. And this is the sort of thing when players are really clumped in close together, they can put a guy over the top. And so I think Montez Sweat certainly has played his way and run his way into the top 10 conversation over the course of the last month.
We're talking with Albert Breer. All right, the Pittsburgh guys,
yep.
What happens to them? Where does Brown wind up? Where does Bell wind up?
I'm not sure that the market's going to be there for either guy.
When Brown's through taking pictures for $500 a pop, I mean, when he stops doing that, because I know money's tight right now, so he's taking photos at $500 a pop. But after that, maybe he'll have time to get back to the league.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are going, or the Steelers are. I just say that the market isn't what everybody thinks it is.
Yeah, but, well, it wouldn't be for me. I wouldn't pay for him with somebody else's money.
So there aren't a ton of teams out there that are that interested in him. You have to be a certain type of team to be able to take him on. And you know, the one team that's consistently come up, that's consistently been brought up to me, is the Raiders. I've heard about other
teams.
Of course.
When in doubt, throw the guy to the Raiders.
Yeah, and I summarily had those shot down. The Redskins would be another team to keep an eye on. But I'm just telling you, I mean, with all these strings attached, and it's tough. And the other part of it, too, you want to remember here, I mean, I think part of this is strategic, what he's doing. It's like, well, if I can get myself cut, then I'll be in really good shape. I think some teams that have lukewarm interest are looking at this and being like, forget it. Like, we're not getting ourselves involved in that. The key here, Mike, of course, is if you trade for him, you know, maybe he's good for the first few months, but what happens when something goes wrong? Are you going to get a bunch of this? I mean, that's what
one thing is that you always hear coaches, it's an old adage. You know, leopards don't change their spots. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, I know a coach who always said that, and he said when a player acts a certain way, he usually will always act that way. So don't think they change. You know, most of them don't. Most people don't. So that's the, you know, so you can expect the same behavior, basically.
Yep, and if the contract gets into play, what else they say, Mike, is money only makes you more of what you already are.
Absolutely. It makes it worse. Absolutely true. So I agree. I'm telling you, I wouldn't go. I know they're both extremely talented, productive players on the field. I don't think they help you win. I don't want either one of them. I think they're more trouble than they're worth. I really don't.
Bell's a question mark, too. No question about it. I mean, I think his bigger problem is his bigger problem. Well, there's the injury history and the suspension history, but I think the issue with him really is a big part of it, at least, is the value of the running back position.
And, agreed.
I mean,
absolutely.
Like, look at the way especially second time around. I mean, like, the Rams lose Todd Gurley. They throw C.J. Anderson in there. They're okay. The Chiefs lose Kareem Hunt. They throw Damian Williams in there. They're okay. That's part of the problem here, is that too many teams are looking at it and saying, why would we pay one at that level that brings all this baggage with him? When we know we'll be okay if we just pick up a couple of guys off the scrap heap and maybe draft one.
Listen, most of the great players or really terrific players on the top of the free agent board, and to me there were a handful.
Yep.
And I'm leaving the Pittsburgh guys out because I don't want to even deal with them. But Lawrence was a top player. He got franchised, okay? I would have been interested in – I would have been interested in who?
Ford,
you knew he was getting franchised, okay? Yeah. Atlanta, they franchised their guy. You knew I'd be interested in him too. He's gone. So those guys, he is the best player, but the issue is he healthy? Earl Thomas is a great player. He's not a good player. He's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. But the question I have is he healthy?
Right, and, you know, he's thrown his body around in a certain way where, you know, you look at that, you look at his size, and you look at the injuries over the last few years, and it's a fair question. You know, is he
if he's healthy, he's Ed Reed. I mean, that's how good he is. He's Ed Reed good. And to me, I don't throw that around. Ed Reed, to me, is one of the great players in the secondary in history.
He is.
This guy is Ed Reed good. That's how good he is. But is he healthy? That's the question.
I mean, the question is, are you paying for 8 games a year? Are you paying for 12 games a year? You don't know. I mean, there's a big unknown there. But there's no question he's a great player. There's absolutely no question about that. And I mean, look, that's one of those positions too. It's so physical. Tight ends are the same way.
Yep.
Where, you know, you're banging around in the box, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, there can be limited shelf life on guys like that. It's a little harder to bet on a guy at the safety position into his 30s than it might be at other positions.
So you think there's a big market? You know, normally you would think, here's a Hall of Fame player. Is there going to be a market for him? Do you think there's a big market for Thomas or no because of the injuries?
Yeah, I think there will be teams out there interested. Like Kansas City tried to trade for him. I think they'd certainly be in the market. I know Dallas would be interested. They've got so much of their own business.
Dallas has got a lot of guys to sign, though. They really do.
Dallas's issue is how many guys they have to take care of. So if he wants to take a little bit of a discount, I think the Cowboys would be interested. I don't think they're going to pay top dollar for him. Just because, I mean, you know, Dak and Zeke and Amari and DeMarcus Lawrence and Byron Jones and Jalen Smith, all those guys have to be addressed over the next year. So, you know, I don't think Dallas would be in there. But I certainly think because of the way the game's being played right now and because of the value of a guy who can cover ground back there, right? Like, this is part of the problem with Landon Collins is that he's not a cover guy.
If you're going to play him the way the Giants did last year, you expose him. He can't cover anybody.
Right.
Plus, he finished the last 2 years on IR.
If you look, the safeties who are playing, who are getting paid right now, right, they're all center fielders or they're converted corners, every one of them.
Yep.
They either started as a corner and moved to safety, so they got cover ability, or they're pure center fielders like Earl Thomas. So, I'd expect that Earl Thomas will have a market. I think the question is going to be how much guaranteed money he can get because of, like you said, the injury history.
Yeah, and Mathau's out there. Now, he had a better year last year. He was okay.
Yep.
He wasn't, and he had come off a couple of weird years.
But he's the kind of guy that you want to look at. I mean, he's had some injury issues, too, and it's like endemic at that. But it's kind of part of the
tough position.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what he's got is that he's a 21st century player. You know, like he can play corner, he can play safety, he's interchangeable. You know, like the same way like Malcolm Jenkins has been able to continue to play because he can do so many different things well. That's exactly what Tyrann Mathieu is. Like, he's the type of guy who you can move around, you can man him up on people, he can tackle, like he can play on the back end. Like, the guy's capable of doing so many different things. And so while, you know, there is the injury history there, and, you know, he did have a little bit of dip in production, the versatility, I think, carries a guy like that through and gets a guy like that paid in a situation like this.
All right. So what else? Anything? Any big free agent things you're looking at? Anything?
Well, I mean,
surprising?
Collins is interesting. If you want to talk about Collins.
Yeah,
Collins,
go ahead. You think he rings the bell, or do you think people will be worried about him being on IR the last 2 years?
I think the bigger problem with Collins is the style player.
He's a guy who's good around the line of scrimmage. He's a great run stopper. Yeah. He can blitz. He just can't cover anybody.
Right, and that's the issue. I mean, that's why, I mean, if you look at James Betcher's history in Arizona, I mean, interchangeable safeties, right? Right, like Tony Jefferson and Tyrann Mathieu. Those are the guys in Arizona for him. He's able to move those guys around and do different things with them. That's not Landon Collins. You know, Landon Collins is a certain type of safety for a certain type of defense. So, you know, maybe he winds up in Kansas City with Spags. Obviously, Spags got a lot out of him. The other thing I could see, and I think this is the type of player he is, you know, could he be play a Cam Chancellor role in one of the Seattle defenses, one of the teams that runs that team?
I mean, that's
certainly possible. I think part of the issue, and I think the Giants would have had to have this conversation. Say he's under contract for one more year. I think the Giants would have had to have the conversation. Do we want to turn him into a hybrid linebacker? And
see, if you're going to do that, then I don't want to pay him a lot of money.
Right,
that's the only thing.
And that's the problem. I don't think the Giants aren't saying he's a bad player. It's, well, in James Betcher's defense, the way that defense is structured, okay, like, he's still a good player, but we're probably going to use him more like a linebacker. If you're going to use him like a linebacker, you're not paying him $11 million.
See, people, when I said I wouldn't pay him, people were like, why are you knocking Collins? And I said, it's not that Collins isn't a good player. It's just that he doesn't fit what they want him to do. He just it just doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're asking him to cover people. He's chasing tight ends and backs. He can't cover all over the league. He can't cover them.
Mike, that's exactly it. It's just it all comes down to fit. It's not, again, they're not saying he's a bad player. It's just, here's how he fits into our defense, and, you know, the value of him in the defense maybe isn't the same as what Landon Collins' value would be in someone else's defense.
Very interesting. You know, I'll give you a good guy. You know, linebackers are treated funny now because if they're not real productive in terms of pass rush, they get overlooked now.
Yep.
Like, Mosley's a really good player.
CJ, a really good player,
but a guy like that gets lost in the cracks sometimes. There's a guy.
Yeah.
Here's two guys I would bull really help a team that people, the fans won't think about. Mosley's one, and here's the other guy. I want the Jets to sign him in the worst way, Golden Tate. He will be perfect, perfect possession receiver for Sam Darnold.
And those are the guys, they benefit from the tag because, you know, the linebacker tag is based on pass rushers, so it's too expensive to put on an off-ball guy.
Yep.
The receiver tag is based on outside guys, so slot guys make it to the market. And I'll give you another linebacker. I think C.J. Mosley's one.
Yep.
I can certainly see the Jets in this market. C.J. Mosley's one. The other guy who I think is really, really interesting is Anthony Barr from Minnesota. Another one of these.
Another good player. Yeah, I agree with you. I like Mosley a little better. He's a little tougher, a little nastier.
Right,
but
right.
And I tell you, I love Golden Tate. I think the Jets should sign two offensive linemen and Golden Tate. Golden Tate will be worth his weight in gold.
Right, and a lot of good slot types. Like a lot of that you don't find a number one receiver on the market. But if you want to look down the list, right, Golden Tate's going to be out there. Randall Cobb's going to be out there. Adam Humphries from Tampa's going to be out there. Jamison Crowder, Cole Beasley from Dallas. There's a lot of good slot receivers out there who, you know, I mean, I think you're going to be able to get at probably, you know, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million who can be really important pieces of your offense.
Yeah, interesting. All right, listen, thanks. We'll chat next week when everything – oh, let me ask about the Giants. Yeah, I didn't do that yet. Let me do that. What do you think the Giants – look at it this way. Here are the Giant possibilities. And we believe Eli is – we all have been led to believe Eli is coming back. So the question is this. Is it Eli coming back normal money? Is it Eli coming back restructured contract? Eli coming back and he's the quarterback and there's no new face that's going to try to challenge, or Eli coming back and they're going to draft the quarterback?
Well, this is his contract year, right? This is last year of his contract,
yes.
So they can't restructure. They would have to give him an extension.
Well, I mean, they can redo the contract to lower.
Sure.
Giving them some relief. We can restructure it to give them some relief is what I mean,
I think they bring him back at the number that they've got him at now. And I think and I think they draft somebody. Whether or not that'll be Dwayne Haskins, we'll see. If you put a gun to my head right now, I would say it would make sense the idea of Eli with Haskins behind him in 2019 would make sense to me.
All right, that's what you see. Okay, thanks. We'll chat again. Thanks very much, Albert.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Albert Breer back after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.